Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Brian! Bad guys of the galaxies, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke! Brian!
Luke Bryans!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that! You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Hello and welcome to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers. You are listening to Dueling Tangents across civic media around the state of Wisconsin, broadcasting live from the Solidarity Realty Studios here on Madison's Near West Side for Mad Radio 92.7 FM, WMDX 1580 AM, and so many more terrific stations around the state, including WRCE News from the Center out in Richland Center. And I am joined on a Monday afternoon by the flagship show for that terrific station, in my opinion. There's a lot of terrific programming on there, but Todd Alba, host of the Todd Alba Show. How are we doing today, Todd?
Fantastic. Now that I'm here with you and all these fine folks across Wisconsin, how could I not be well?
That's so kind of you to say. And I was worried because I honestly, there's a lot of busy Mondays here at Civic Media. We try to grow the network, and sometimes I'm not the best steward of time, Todd, and time gets away from me on a Monday morning, and I was like, well, you know, I don't know what would be really helpful this Monday afternoon if Todd was available to pull a little double duty and join me on the airwaves this afternoon, and sure enough, you made it happen, and I appreciate that.
I moved my haircut appointment just for Luke. He said, can you come? I said, let me check, and I knew I had to get my haircut, what's left of it, and it's not much. It shouldn't take very long to cut what little hair I have left, but yet it takes 45 minutes. So I'm getting my hair cut tonight at 8:15.
Wow, that's a long, a late night haircut appointment. Honestly, I thought you were joking with me when you're like, I got to check in with my haircut appointment. I was like, oh, Todd, if you don't want to join me on the radio, just say you don't want to join me.
For you, the world moved.
And then you were like, oh, no, I made it, moved around. I was like, oh, he was serious. He was serious about a haircut appointment. Oh, well, and we appreciate you making the time here on this Monday afternoon.
Always a fine program and enjoyable.
Yeah, we got Evan on the board helping us out. E, hopefully you had a terrific weekend and doing all the important things you do on the ones and twos. And folks, if you missed a really great edition of As Goes Wisconsin, our friend Joe Zepecki just finished wrapping it up, filling in for Kristen earlier today. If you missed any portion of that show or any programming here on Civic Media, you can go check out the podcast, civicmedia.us. You can click on all the different shows. Todd had you had a terrific show this morning as well.
We had a show.
Terrific job filling in.
Turned on the microphone. We talked a little bit.
There you go.
Had a couple of coffees.
And if you're listening for the first time and you're like, who is this Todd guy? Todd hosts the Todd Alba Show every single Monday through Friday, 8 to 11 a.m. on WRCE News from the Center and Richland Center. True. Our friends in Wausau, Bull Falls Radio, WXCO, and Lake Eyre up in Amory, WLAK.
Close to the old Mississippi.
Yeah, real close, right up there. And so, Todd, you had a show today.
We had a show.
And I was listening to the first part of it. And one of the interesting things I always, in the endeavor that we have here at Civic Media, is figuring out how Wisconsinites get their information.
Yeah.
And not just Wisconsinites, but people in general. What are media trends here in 2023? How can we reach out and restore hometown radio, but also attract more people to the platform? We want more people listening to the programming that we're putting out on Civic Media. And so my question today here on a Monday afternoon is how do you get your information? 844-967-2789. Is it social media? Is it radio broadcasts? Is it the newspapers? How do you get your information? 844-967-2789. Because, Todd, I think depending on where you get your information, it drastically shapes the narrative, which is something that Brian and I talk a lot about here on Dueling Tangents. And the narrative around many different stories, and it's a variety of stories, because we got a couple here, and we're going to go on a few tangents, and we'll take your phone calls, 844-967-2789, here on Dueling Tangents this Monday afternoon. But the first one, I think we can have a little fun with. And unfortunately, the Milwaukee Bucks lost game one yesterday afternoon
to tough.
The Miami Heat. It was tough. I was a little late finishing up the errands, so I was listening on the radio in the car, nice. Driving, which a lot of sports I listen to on the radio. That's how I get my information in many different regards, not just here through civic media, but for sports in general. Mm-hmm. When I can listen, like the Brewers on WISS, Oshkosh Air Support, I do. But the Bucks had to catch the first start of the game. And I was listening, and Giannis got fouled right as I pulled in the driveway, and I ran in, and it was already on in the house. I left it on. Like, I was watching the pregame. I was like, oh, I got to go do this errand. And I came back inside, and Giannis was writhing in pain because he seemingly bruised his tailbone. And perfect. The x-ray seems like it was clear. During the broadcast yesterday, and did you catch the game, Todd?
No, we'll talk about this later, but no. The short answer is no, okay. because I'm an old man and I can't figure out my chartered spectrum. I went to TNT. It wasn't there. I go to Bally's. It's not there. Then I look on the Twitter, on the Bucks Twitter thing, and it says Bally's Sports Extra. And I'm like, I'm not paying extra to watch this game. A playoff game should be on a station I get. I couldn't find it. You're telling me it was on TNT. I don't know.
I was watching it on TNT, so I don't know how
I think
it
there was like Family Feud on TNT on my feed. I don't know.
Well, I have to get it sorted out. I did have a qualm with that. The first game, LA Lakers versus Memphis Grizzlies.
Yeah.
That was broadcast on ABC, national broadcast channel. Cable, TNT, I believe, had the next three games of the four playoff games yesterday. But I get into the house, and Giannis is writhing in pain, and he seemingly, as the superhuman that Giannis Antetokounmpo is, got up and shot the free throws. Mm-hmm. He left the game. He came back. He was riding on a bike. Tried to get back in the second quarter. Came in for a little bit, and then could feel the discomfort and left the game again. And for folks who didn't get their information of the game, they probably seemingly thought that if you got the information from social media, like a lot of people nowadays do, Todd, the other injury that it was being compared to for this game, because it was a slugfest of an NBA playoff game. And in a loose ball, Tyler Hero, a Wisconsin native, plays for the Miami Heat, slid across the floor, and you could tell he was in pain almost immediately. But they couldn't sum him out. They didn't have possession. They didn't take the timeout. Tyler Hero shot a three-pointer, attempted to shoot a three-pointer. It missed horribly with this writhing pain in his hand. And you can see it on his face. He comes out of the game, leaves the game, and has a diagnosed broken hand during the course of this game then. And then, so the announcers, as they're covering the game, Todd, are discussing which is the bigger loss for each respective team. Is Giannis Antetokounmpo the bigger loss for the Milwaukee Bucks with a seemingly bruised tailbone, or is it Tyler Hero for the Heat that has a broken hand? And a clip of Reggie Miller saying that Tyler Hero going out with the broken hand was the bigger loss for the Heat than Giannis leaving the Bucks got picked up on social media. The Journal Sentinel, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, has a story written up today talking about Reggie Miller getting dunked on in all of these different social media posts. And so, Todd, as you saw seemingly either the Reggie Miller post getting dunked on social media or the Journal Sentinel.
I followed Tom Oates, who's a great writer, former columnist from Wisconsin State Journal, and still is brought back in to write a column here and there. But, Tom Oates was like, there is no universe in which a injury to Tyler Hero is worse than an injury to Giannis.
Well,
I'm like, yeah.
Interestingly enough, I want to assume Tom was probably watching the game.
I'm sure he was.
And I would think that that's taken out of context for this social media. If you're getting your news from the social media, you could just see that it was probably, Reggie Miller saying that is completely out of context. We're going to dunk on him. But I think in the context of the game, they were discussing how Tyler Hero not coming back for this series, not probably coming back at all for this postseason, and talking about the ramification of a player going down with an injury like that versus an undiagnosed tailbone bruise that is going to have Giannis Antetokounmpo out for an undisclosed number of days. It could be he's ready to go for Wednesday night, their game two of this series. It could be that he could be out for a few weeks. But I think what Reggie Miller was trying to insinuate, that it's a bigger loss to lose Tyler for the rest of the playoffs, Tyler Hero,
right,
than it is for Giannis to have a bruised tailbone and be unknown to come back. And I think he was leaning also on the fact that, as a lot of pundits have talked about, Milwaukee Bucks have a deep roster. And they may be able to withstand Giannis being out for a few games and then come back for either later this series or the next series if the Bucks were to win against the Miami Heat in the seven-game series, if they can win four of them without Giannis. And so it's just interesting that there's probably a lot of people that were dunking on Reggie Miller that didn't watch the game, didn't have the context of the players going down, and that's just they got their information that, Giannis is hurt, Tyler Hero is hurt, and we're going to go this way or that.
I'm assuming, like you say, that Tom Ellis was watching the game, former columnist for the State Journal. So he just said, he says, Reggie Miller just said Tyler Hero is a bigger loss to the Heat than Giannis is to the Bucks. Dumbest thing I've heard in forever. And Jordan Taylor, actually a former player of the Badgers, tweets back at Otsi and says, if Hero is out for the season and Giannis is out for one game, that isn't true. Or that's true, isn't it? And Otsi says, yes, but do we know Giannis is only out for one game? And he says, nah, but that's what he said, I thought. He said, you're right, Jordan. He didn't explain it very well, though.
That's the thing. If you get your information from watching the full broadcast and you're watching the game and it have the commentary rather than just reacting to a momentary clip and then dunking on that and it getting what the young folks, I don't know, Todd, if you refer to it this way, but ratioed. When you get ratioed on social media, when you have the, it's a whole thing. I'll catch you up during the break.
I'm not quite a boomer, but let a Gen Xer know. Let me in on that.
But when you get ratioed, it's when you have more comments and quote tweets and everything like that getting dunked on rather than likes and retweets.
Oh, you mean when I commented on the women's NBA or the NCAA final?
Yes, that's probably an instance of being ratioed. So that's the
thank you, term. Kristen. We appreciate that.
I think more people were getting reacting to Reggie Miller than actually understanding the commentary or situation of it. But we also see this with polls that get thrown out there. So we're going to talk a little bit about a lawsuit going on in Delaware. Not today. It's delayed a day. It's going to be tomorrow, possibly. Or there may be a settlement. We're going to get into that more and take your phone calls. 844-967-2789. You're listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers, joined on a Monday afternoon by Todd Alba, host of The Todd Alba Show. And you can join us as well, 844-967-2789. Want to know where you get your information from? Is it social media? Are you watching the highlight clips and the takeaways from the games, like the NBA playoffs that began this past weekend, where Reggie Miller, in a little clip, said, well, it was a bigger loss for the Heat to lose Tyler Hero than the Bucks losing Giannis Antetokounmpo yesterday and just getting ratioed by the online community? Or do you get your information by watching the full game and understanding the context that, if Tyler Hero is out and gone for the entire rest of the season, I'm going to miss the rest of the playoffs for the Heat, that could be a much bigger loss than Giannis being out a day or so, or maybe a few weeks. It depends on what a bruised tailbone and the diagnosis will come. Essentially, Coach Budenholz yesterday said, we'll see how Giannis is feeling in the morning. Because, again, he's a superhuman. His knee bent backwards during the 2021 playoffs.
Don't remind me
of that. And he missed two games and then came back and put up 50 points in game six of the NBA Finals. And I think it's important also to point out to Bucks fans kind of overreacting a little bit, in my opinion, of yesterday's loss. You can't get Bucks in six without two losses. So it's really important. Like, I follow a number of different people that are just like hair on fire. Like, oh my God. Well, if you believe in the mantra,
right,
Bucks in six,
Bucks in six,
you're going to lose
two games out of every playoff series. That's kind of what you should just bake into the cake. But yes, a sweep is gorgeous, and you want to see a sweep. But Bucks and six requires two playoff losses. Something that may be ending in a loss in court, or may be ending in a settlement behind closed doors that we'll never get to see the details of it, Todd, is the Dominion lawsuit against Fox News. $1.6 billion lawsuit, seemingly delayed a day in Wilmington, Delaware, the where the court case is happening. I got the jokes last night as this was reported on it being delayed. Everybody, all the media journalists were freaking out, and then as well as the hotel staff for Wilmington, Delaware, because they're going to have to extend all the stays to all these reporters that were there for like the opening. I thought that was great. Hilarious. Yeah. Because interestingly enough, this not happening in Manhattan where Fox News is
what do you think
studios are.
I know that I learned this recently that apparently because it was when the big lottery got up to like whatever it was, $700 million, $800 million. And so I was talking to a banker friend of mine and he said, now if you win, the first thing you want to do is A, don't sign it. Go lock it in a lockbox in the bank and then go set up an LLC in Delaware. Because the laws in Delaware are such
that are so nice
that you
so
don't
kind.
Have to disclose who the people are in your company, the LLC, so you can remain anonymous. And then you go home and you sign it.
I have
so,
heard that.
So maybe Fox News is actually based or one of them is based in Delaware.
There's a lot of corporations in the U.S.
Maybe that's why it's there. I don't know.
For different benefits disclosure and privacy for this Fox News lawsuit may be an interesting one, but it's important to ask the question again, how do you get your news? Because Fox News is leaning on the fact that they are one of the most trusted news organizations in the country, Todd.
Sure.
And sure. This one came across, and I got a good chuckle out of it, and sounds like you did as well this morning, because there is a picture of a full-page ad taken out in the New York Times this morning saying, trusted now, period. More than ever, period. And it is a Fox News Channel ad showing that TV network's most trusted for news, Fox News winning with 41%, ABC News in a distant second at 24%, then CNN at 22%, CBS at 22%, NBC at 21%, and MSNBC at 18%. And it's just Fox News Channel. America is watching. And it's interesting that the news organization being sued for $1.6 billion in court in Delaware that had that hearing delayed a day is also putting out there that they are the most trusted. But the basis of the lawsuit is that all of their hosts were lying, Todd. All of them knowingly contributed to the big lie that led up to January 6th, 2021. And you point out the math doesn't really add up either.
Well, I found a tweet. I follow the Lincoln Project because we have one of the senior advisors, Trigvi Olson, on our show quite frequently every Wednesday, as a matter of fact. And the Lincoln Project looks at this ad and says, that's 148%. They can't even lie correctly. Which, I mean, again, if you look at it, you know, the percentage of most trusted network, as you pointed out, the percentage is 138%. Or 148%, pardon me. So it doesn't even add up. Then if you actually look at the ad and you go down to the bottom, it says, and this source apparently was YouGov Profiles Plus. It says, brand perception. Question one, which of the following TV networks do you watch to keep up with news? Check as many as apply. Question two, now that you've listed which TV news networks you watch, which ones do you trust for news? Check as many as apply. So it's
one of those surveys where you just fill it out. It's very, very accurate polling information where you can give as many responses as you want. And Fox News is going to run with those answers and then post them in a full page ad in the New York Times.
Not cheap.
And
for Rupert Murdoch's pizza money.
Well, it's just a fraction of what they may have to settle outside of court to get this lawsuit to go away. And again, if you're a trusted organization, do you have to take out a full page ad saying that you're the most trusted organization? Or do you think that, do you think the actions speak louder than words?
A good friend of mine likes to say, if someone starts a conversation with, Let me be completely honest with you. They're probably not being completely honest with you.
Folks, we can be completely honest with you. You are listening to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers, joined by Todd Alba, host of the Todd Alba Show on this Monday afternoon. We want to know, where do you get your information? 844-967-2789. You can share that tangent all hour long. We're going to get to those phone lines, as well as a couple more Wisconsin headlines catching up from the week. When we get back, you are listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media. Take us with you on the go. Download the Civic Media app, and we'll be there with you on your smartphone, wherever you may be heading next. Welcome back to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers, joined on a Monday afternoon by Todd Alba, host of the Todd Alba Show. And you can join us on the phone lines, 844-967-2789. Todd, what's your number one source for getting information? Where do you get your information?
On a daily basis, Twitter. Because yeah. I follow, but I it's not from like just people, random people. I follow like CBS News, you know, ABC, CNN, AP, WISP Politics, Civic Media, Recombobulation Area. I mean stuff like that. Yeah. I use it as like, you're much too young, but back in the olden days, Luke, we had something called a wire service.
I know what a wire service is.
So you'd come into the station at WRCE, WRCO back in the day, and you'd come in, if you signed on in the morning, it's 5 or 6 in the morning. Mm-hmm. I just missed the teletype of those went out in the mid 80s, but the it was a big dot matrix printer.
Okay.
And every time it was attached to a satellite dish, and they'd send out, you know, stuff, this teletype, basically, a news service. And you have all this paper piled up on the floor, and you had to tear it off, and then you put it on a big counter, and you have a ruler, and you have to go through this, and you tear your stories for the day. Okay, there was no internet.
Yeah, that's how they came across.
Right, and so I use it like that. So I curate the day's news.
Right, and in its best form, that's what Twitter can be used. It's right. One of those platforms you can go seek out and follow whatever accounts you want, whether it be those news sources, whether you want it to be athletes or sports organizations or actresses and actors, and so it is a very nice platform in that regard, that you can curate it to be right. The news that you want it to be.
And I supplement it with a little bit of, like, I still will read a paper, Wisconsin State Journal, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, this nearby. I DVR the CBS Evening News with Nora O'Donnell. I'll watch a little bit of that.
Okay.
I have the CBS radio app on my phone, so I'll listen to CBS radio.
You got the Civic Media app on there too, right?
Well, first and foremost, the Civic Media app, but yes. So how about you?
Very similar. I've gotten more into subscriptions for newsletters and trying to curate that way. I don't know what comes next after Twitter implodes. I have a feeling we're getting closer and closer to that happening. I don't know.
I'll
for
be lost.
Sure, though. I explained to a friend, because they know I feel bad for individuals that follow me that are not politically or like news centric, because they must get a lot of different things from me that are just like, I'm a heavy Twitter user, and they were asking me like, oh, well, are you leaving Twitter? What are your thoughts on what Elon's doing? And kind of just asked me that question last week, and I was like, I am going down with the ship. I am on the deck of the Titanic playing that violin, and I will be there until the icy cold water surrounds me, and maybe I'll find a lifeboat and go find one of the alternatives, or I don't know what yet.
Luke, but if I find the floating door first, you can stay on top, and I'll go down like Jack did into the depths.
Here's a better idea. We'll find one of those life rafts, and everybody will be safe that wants to be on one. I haven't really explored any of the other platforms. I've signed up for one and didn't really like it at all.
Which one?
The Post.
Oh yeah.
Post. I was told that it was a better one, but I will be interested to see how information is best gathered for me post to Twitter world. But for the time being, newsletters and a lot of the different sources that you referred to, I like to try to stick to as many local Wisconsin outlets that I can as well. Wisconsin Examiner does a terrific job, as you mentioned already, Dan Schaefer in the recombobulation area. And sticking to Up North News, the terrific site.
Wispolitics.
And so there's lots of different ways. We want to know how you get your news and your information. 844-967-2789. We got Dick here in Madison calling in. Dick, what's on your mind this Monday afternoon?
Where do I get most? Probably MSNBC television-wise, and that was done at only, what, 18%?
According to this YouGov poll, Dick, like, I don't know how, again, Fox News is using it as their full page ad takeout, and I don't know about the polling science behind the poll they used.
And the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, the State Journal, not hardly at all anymore. In fact, they were trying to sell it in front of Metro Market about a month ago, and I told the guy that my parrot died and I didn't need it. And he kind of looked at me like, what? I said, I basically wouldn't use it to line my bird cage.
That's rough.
No, those are my main sources. No, it's I don't know. That paper has never been great, but now it's just there's nothing to it anymore. You get it on Sunday and it's like, what is this?
Well, unfortunately, the organizations that have taken over a lot of newsrooms, Dick, here in Wisconsin and around the nation have done a lot of hollowing out. And so, unfortunately, I think a lot of the really good reporters that are still left at outlets like the State Journal or any of the Gannett properties around the state, I think are trying to do a whole lot with very, very few resources.
Yeah.
Never subscribed, but had access to it. Used to read the Weekly Standard all the time when it was still out. You know, and in that case with me, it was like, you know, keep your friends close and your enemies closer.
There you go. That's a strategy as well. I follow a handful of things online that you'd be interested to see. I think a lot of people are like, oh, why are you following that? It's like, well, I think echo chambers are a bad thing. I try not to insulate myself. Like, you can curate what you want, and so you can go find respectable outlets still that share a different point of view that you yourself have. And I think that it's a healthy thing to see what other organizations, outlets, and everything like that are putting out. So I do tend to follow different accounts like that as well, Dick, in today's social media environment. I never subscribed to the Weekly Standard, though, I'll tell you that.
Dick, I used to buy the Weekly Standard at Barnes & Noble once in a while in the paper form.
Wow. No, I got it because one of the condos I take care of, it was always in their junk. I would never buy it. If I can get it free, I mean, I'll read it.
There you go. See, and I don't have to pay for a Twitter subscription. I'm never going to do that. Elon's not getting my money, but I wouldn't pay to subscribe to one
I did
of those.
For a brief time. I paid for because I like the editing. You could edit for a while.
Okay.
And then I'm like, this is ridiculous. I let it go.
We appreciate the phone call, Dick. You could be like Dick. 844-967-2789. Asking how you get your news and information. Because if you're getting your information from, say, a full-page ad in the New York Times telling you that Fox News is the most trusted cable news television out there, but you don't actually see any of the information surrounding this Dominion lawsuit. Say you are an avid Fox News watcher and you're curious, and you get the New York Times as well. You're not completely under the guise that some right-wing media outlets wanted to think that the New York Times is some kind of liberal rag. And so you still watch a lot of Fox News, but you get your ads. Or you also pay, and you get the New York Times. And you see ads, telling you in the New York Times that Fox News is the most trusted. Everybody else thinks that it's the most trusted, too. So, of course, you're watching Fox News, and you're getting the New York Times because they're insulated there. That's just a little echo chamber that you have. You're not reaching out and reading or watching or viewing or listening to any of these other news information sources. If you're just caught up in the social media hype and you're like, oh yeah, of course Reggie Miller's an idiot. Like, what does he know about basketball? Like, slamming on an NBA champion, I believe Reggie Miller was with the Pacers. I could be wrong, though. I'm not.
I think you're right.
I know that you had a title with Duke as a collegiate athlete, but it's not like Reggie Miller doesn't know what he's talking about. And so in the brief little clip when you have social media there and you're acting like, oh, everybody else is an expert except the guy that's being paid to commentate on an NBA playoff game, just an interesting aspect to take. And again, is it how we get our information? Is it the fact that we're just so quick to react to information when it's in front of us? There's a lot of different things.
But I think, Luke, you hit on it when you said don't be in an echo chamber. And I think people who only watch MSNBC exclusively, I think you're almost, not quite, but almost as bad off as those who only watch Fox. I think MSNBC is a more legitimate news organization than Fox. But still, if you're only watching from one point of view all the time, I just don't think that's healthy. That's why, like you say, on Twitter, I curate, you know, a bunch of different sources, all kinds, you know, Washington Post, New York Times, you know, all kinds of television stations, left and right. I don't follow Fox, but I try to get different
they
sources.
They leak into their everything from other people you follow that didn't share.
But
them.
But I also think there's a little bit of a, again, to show our age. So I'm 53. Luke is not, and much younger. But I think here's the thing, Luke. I grew up at kind of the tail end of Walter Cronkite's reign at CBS News. And Walter Cronkite would end each of his evening news broadcasts with the line, and that's the way it is. And people just, you trust, I mean, if Walter Cronkite said that's the way it is, I mean, that's part of what brought the Vietnam War to a conclusion on the U.S. side, is that Cronkite went there in one of his rare times when he editorialized, came back and reported from there and just said, this isn't working. That the U.S. is on the wrong side of this.
Yeah.
And so there was a trust factor. The news, places like the New York Times, Washington Post, Chicago Tribune, you had editors and publishers that, first and foremost, was getting it right.
Yeah.
And now I think in the news business, it's what, I mean, it's always been, to a certain degree, what's going to sell. It used to be getting it right was going to sell. Now it's more, a little bit more of the entertainment side. And I think that has changed the way that news is disseminated and put forth.
And I think one of the best examples of just a display of that change in priorities is reactionary response to these stories.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's what gets boosted in algorithms now, the way that you react. If it's a feel-good story about a puppy, sure, maybe that'll get shared and you'll see a feel-good story like that. But most of the time, the stories that get clicks are the ones that are divisive, that show anger. And I think it displays a lot of why none of the Fox News was winning that poll with, what, 41%? And again, terrible polling mechanisms from the social science aspect of it. But these media organizations, broadcast cable television, show those low numbers, I think, indicates how it has changed to be, oh, well, the other side's got it wrong. You got to listen here. The other side, you can't possibly believe what they're telling you. You got to listen here. And it helps form those echo chambers. And then it leads to things like, for whatever reason, Bud Light having a new spokesperson all of a sudden becomes a top listed issue that Fox News is talking about that like a multitude of times compared to any of the other important news stories of the day, because Fox News now is trying to deliver and add those grievances and want to be able to just show this all click-worthy thing where it's like, why is this what anybody's upset about?
But you hit on it, Luke. I think, again, the immediacy of our world right now. Like my old boss, Scott Klug, I worked for in Congress in the 1990s when the internet was just starting, the late 90s started to come up. And he said, you know, it used to be you'd see something on the evening news that ticked you off about your politician and you noodled on it. Then you sat down either in longhand or typed out a letter. Then the next day you went to the post office, you got a stamp, and then you mailed it. And then 2 weeks later, you might get a handwritten letter back from or a typed letter back from your legislator. Now, you don't have that. And sometimes you just cooled off and said, well, that's not so bad. You don't write the letter. Now we're instantaneous.
Or you write the
phones.
Letter and you don't send it because you didn't get to the post office.
Exactly. It wasn't so bad.
Any step in that order all of a sudden could.
There's no cool off period. Yeah. And now it's like as soon as somebody ticks you off, you're going to tweet out something or send out something. And it might be in the moment that you really didn't mean. And it just accelerates. It's putting tinder on that fire constantly.
Yeah, I think the immediacy is absolutely an aspect of it. And the social media plays into that. You want to see the now, the current, I got to refresh because I haven't seen this yet.
And am I going to get liked or am I going to get ratioed?
Yeah. And or everybody's got their ability to now add their punditry to it. Yeah. And everybody can comment of, oh, well, I hate Bud Light anyways. I'm not drinking that stuff, but or whatever. And yeah. I just find it funny, too, of who's the first people to react in your circles about the right. Bud Light thing. Completely off my radar. Just not even something that I was remotely aware that was causing
Kid
outrage.
Kid Rock shooting up cases of Bud Light.
That's not really high on my algorithm priority
I don't
either.
Kid
though.
Rock, by
no,
the way.
Neither do I. But somehow there's other people out there that are like, oh, you have you seen this yet? And I was like, oh, okay. Well, folks, we want to know where you get your information here on Dueling Tangents. We're talking about info and many different tangents today. Let's hear your thoughts. 844-967-2789. Dueling Tangents. One more segment in the day. Got Todd Alba on a Monday afternoon. Be right back. Welcome back to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers. You are listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media here in the Solidarity Realty Studios for Mad Radio, WMDX, 1580 AM, 92.7 FM, so many more terrific stations around the state of Wisconsin. If you want to share a tangent with us, 844-967-2789. Want to know where you get your, at least the top sources of where you get your information. You can share those tangents, 844-967-2789, joined by Todd Alba, host of the Todd Alba Show, here in the Solidarity Realty Studios. And Todd, it's just a very interesting, I feel like this is a topic that I'm trying to get more into, and I don't know if it's just because of the aspect of the growing radio network that we are putting on here at Civic Media, or if it's just something that has caught my attention further than that. But where we get our information, I think, is just huge, and it needs to be something we're talking about. And I think you're right. If you get in your own echo chamber, regardless of what kind of echo chamber that is, it's just not healthy.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that I really admire about Sage Weil, our CEO, is setting the example and just saying, look, you know, we're not here to present the news side of our company. One side or the other. It's just truth. It's just following the truth and bringing that to our listeners. Now, some of our shows may have a tangent or an opinion, and that's all fine. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to just bringing factual information, we want that to be community-based. We want it to be straight down the middle and just say, hey, here are the facts. Because, you know, I personally tend to believe that most people listening are smart enough to figure things out if presented with factual, honest information. Yeah. And it's when one side or the other tries to paint it for a political agenda, then that confuses people. Because it's like, well, I thought the media was supposed to be truthful, and then it turns out that it's not, and then people just, well, then now I'm done with all of it because I can't trust anybody.
Yeah, and I think that there is an interesting dynamic there. And we're going to get to the phone lines in a second, but sure. I want to share this tangent here first. I think that there is a generational change between the news and information that you yourself were, like, as you referenced, Walter Cronkite and that generation of broadcast media. Whereas growing up, very much a child of the internet age, my parents always taught me, don't believe everything you read in the internet. Mm-hmm. And it was that paired with everything that you put out on the internet is permanent. Mm-hmm. If you post something, it's going to be out there. It's there forever. Mm-hmm. And so between those two schools of thought, you are A, skeptical of the things that you're reading. And then B, you are, and I still, as you mentioned, you get that knee-jerk reaction from time to time. I'll go out there and post opinions that are probably too hot that need to be shared at that point. It's just a bad take because it was too quick and too reactionary. That's totally fair. I have those kind of reactions as well on the internet. But I think it's a different dynamic for me where a lot of the things that I do read, I am skeptical. Mm. And I want to know the background of the information. I want to know the background of the sources and the outlet and all of those things because from a very early on age, I was taught, don't believe everything you read on the internet.
But is that your reaction? This is great. I'm curious. Do you think that way for quote-unquote trusted news sources? Like if the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel has something that you don't recognize the reporter or... I mean, do you think that way almost everything you read, or are there some things you just automatically trust?
I think once I've gain to know the outlet or the person or the reporter, I think I do build a sense of trust, and I probably let my guard down a little bit more.
Yeah.
But I think for the most part, if it's the first time that I'm seeing information, or it's the first time that this opinion or take or whatever is out there, or this set of facts is out there, I think I do hedge on the side of skepticism, because
really interesting
I've been told that don't believe everything you read on the internet, which is then very funny because some of the demographics that are most susceptible to fake news and the Facebook stories that are boosted are the very same generation that taught me don't believe everything you read on the internet. And it's just very, I'll get questions about, oh, did you see this? And I'll be like, oh, that's just, it would be a nonsensical story.
But I hear this from relatives. Well, I saw it on Facebook.
Exactly.
And Facebook isn't a news source. You understand that?
They're trying very hard not to be a news source, too. We want to know where you get your information, though. 844-967-2789. We got Kurt and Madison calling in. Kurt, what's on your mind this Monday afternoon?
Todd, I'm 10 years senior to you. Did I just hear you compare Fox, the largest propaganda since Tokyo Rose, to MSNBC or any news?
No, I did. Okay. If it came across that way, that's not what I intended. I just said I think it doesn't matter what news source you're. If you only listen to one, you know, side or the other, I said that Fox, by and large, is an entertainment company, and I think I said that MSNBC is much more of a legit news organization. I was just trying to make the point. I don't care whether it was CNN or MSNBC or Fox or whatever. I think only listening to one news source, I just don't think is healthy.
I'm not disagreeing with that, but I think the analogy was poor. But and furthermore, you're trying to, let's disseminate what's being discussed here. First of all, I don't see Fox as a news, quote, organization. They're a propaganda megaphone. The other organizations are news. Now, whether it's good or healthy to listen to just one, yeah, we can, you know, debate that. I agree. But boy, you really got to refrain that comment, because I heard it exactly the way you said it. Just as bad.
Well, and Kurt, in Todd's defense, I believe that he put the disclaimer on there, but just saying that if you only listen, if you silo yourself off into one echo chamber, that's not good.
We can roll the tape back. What I may have said, it can be just as bad. And what I meant was by listening to one news source, not that Fox News organization is quote unquote just as bad as MSNBC, because I clearly don't believe that. I would say whether you want to call it a propaganda piece, I call it an entertainment piece. I mean, that's literally when Sean Hannity comes on the air in small little type, it says this is an entertainment show now, because there was a lawsuit over that. but no, I do not. The only piece of Fox News that is legitimate to me is their polling people, because they've actually proven that they're, and also on election night, they were the first ones to call the election for Joe Biden in Arizona. So their election and their election desk calling and their polling people are legit, but the rest of them, no, it's not legit.
Appreciate the phone call, Kurt. All right. Appreciate it. Folks, you've been listening to Dueling Tangents. Very grateful for Todd Alba, host of the Todd Alba Show, joining me here on a Monday afternoon. And we want to know, this is going to be one that we talk about a lot going forward, because where you get your information, again, it shapes the narrative. Narrative shapes perspective. Perspective shapes reality. So it all plays into itself. And really, really appreciate these conversations with you, Todd.
Always happy to be here. Anytime.
Absolutely.
Haircut or no.
So sorry that you moved it back now. You gotta have a late haircut appointment.
My hair will grow a half a millimeter, which will help immensely in the balding.
See, the weather doesn't want you to get a hair. You can't have the summer cut yet, because we got snowstorms here in Wisconsin still, isn't it?
Very true.
Middle to late April. Folks, if you missed any portion of the show, go check out the podcast. You can see all of the editions of Dueling Tangents there. You can also check out podcasts for Todd Alba, As Goes Wisconsin, Devil's Advocates, all the terrific civic media programming can be found at civicmedia.us in podcast form. We'll be back tomorrow at 2 p.m. Talk to y'all then.